the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires, hey man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, across the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats. I'm one of your hosts for this evening. I'm Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister Mindy.
Hey guys.
We're here for
We're
here for the Scaredy Cats podcast. We got a big one. We're doing The Loved Ones today. Interesting movie that we picked out of the hat, Mindy.
Yeah, it's an Australian film. So everybody that is weak of heart and can't really take torturous stuff, I would say skip this episode.
Yeah.
Back next week. Australian movies and Siberian movies and New Zealand movies are very, very torturous films, but they also have a meaning to them, and that's what we're going to discuss today.
Yes, 100%. I mean, this is a good one. It's interesting for various different reasons. Before we get into all that, let's go to the plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday after AEW and SmackDown. Fridays are Hollywood Hangout movie reviews, so check them out. Check out Elite Diplodoc on YouTube for our buddy Sean, and Sneaky Fetty on Twitch. And make sure to check us out 6:30 on Friday for Unscripted Wrestling, the hottest wrestling podcast in the world. It's not a legit fact, but fuck it. Make sure to check us out Saturdays for Unscripted Podcast or Unscripted Unlimited, which is just crazy. We just did a top 10 MMA, our favorite MMA fighters, and we got a 2.5-man retrospective next week. So a lot of cool, different, interesting stuff on that. And then here at 3 p.m. live for Scaredy Cats.
Yeah, and then also, guys, we have a TikTok for the ScaredyCatsPodcast.com. We have an old school wrestling group for Doug and Daniel's show on Facebook. We also have a Scaredy Cats Podcast on Facebook, an official page for that. And we have an official YouTube as well. So go check that out. Like, subscribe, share. And we want to say thank you, too, for just tuning in.
Yeah.
It's been really, really good.
Exactly, and it's been a fun time, and we can't wait to keep giving you good content. Now let's get into it, Mindy, The Loved Ones. This is an interesting movie, front to back, by, directed by Sean Byrne, or Byrne, some shit like that.
I believe it's Sean Byrne.
Okay. This had a $4 million budget. It only made about $358,000 in the box office, so a bit of a disappointment, but critically it's pretty loved. First impressions.
First impressions, honestly, was what the hell am I getting myself into? Because, like, it opens up, guys, with a young man who you don't find out who his name is until a little bit, but his name is Brent, and his father. And Brent is driving a car. His father is smoking a cigarette, and they're just having a good time. They're rocking. They're rolling.
Yeah.
They're listening to things and whatnot. So, like, at first, you're kind of confused.
Yeah.
Is this a horror movie or what's going on? Then all of a sudden, this half-dead looking man just appears in the middle of the road out of nowhere, and Brent tries to save the guy's life, so he swerves off the road. He ends up killing his dad.
Yeah.
That is a really crucial part to this movie. And the reason I say this is because it determined what path he was going down for the rest of the movie, if that makes sense, guys. It shows him again at school getting some weed off of a fellow classmate, who is hilarious, by the way. He steals half the show.
Yeah,
he's great.
Jamie, the best character in the movie.
He is the best character in the movie. Man. Props to Jamie.
Yeah.
Definitely the comedic relief there. We'll get more on that in a little bit. But he gets some weed from Jamie. Jamie's asking him if he's going to go to the dance. He tells him no, that he's probably just going to blow his girlfriend Holly off and go smoke weed and da-da-da-da-da. And you basically get this story that he's a stoner. But then enters a girl who's really not bad looking. She does dress like she's 12, so that is a little creepy.
Yeah.
I think that's what's most off-putting about her.
Yeah.
She's very quiet.
Yeah.
A very creepy young lady, and she asks them, go to the dance with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even cool to her, guys. He just tells her, like, no, I'm sorry, I have to go with Holly.
Yeah.
She's my girlfriend. I'm sorry, Lola. Like, he was sweet. No, that's the one thing Lola don't like, is being rejected.
Yeah.
That is one thing that does not settle well.
Yeah, and the thing that, I mean, because...
What stuck out with you for the beginning while we're doing this?
Well, I didn't like, I thought the whole build-up for her getting rejected was bullshit. I think the setting and they gave a lot more plot as the movie went on. I think it started with very little. And I didn't really like the build-up of just her asking him. And he was kind of nice.
It wasn't really rejection.
No, it wasn't. He was kind of nice about it. So I didn't think – but her seeing him and Holly have sex in the car.
That was creepy, guys. Yeah. She was literally – I mean, they were having sex in the middle of a school parking lot. But she was literally watching them. That was creepy.
Yeah. So that was a little weird, but – and to me, that it didn't have that much build-up to why that she was doing all this until you find out that she does this to a lot of boys that reject her and all that shit. And once we got a little more plot to it, I enjoyed it.
When you find out
more.
The relationship between the father and herself, which is really creepy.
It's really creepy. But just the setup in the beginning, I wasn't too big of a fan of.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to get at. Like, I was like, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
So, anyways, our young character, Brent, he ends up going home with his girlfriend, Holly. She just got her license. Now, Brent's mother is very, very overprotective.
Yeah.
Like, this bitch is so overprotective, guys. You have no idea.
Yeah.
Understandably so. Her husband just died.
Yeah.
I get it. But... he gets out of the car with Holly, and he gets lectured by his mom and whatnot. So the kid goes to the mountains, and he reflects on life and everything. And it says in the production notes, which I didn't really get this, but it said in the production notes that he was contemplating suicide.
Yeah.
I didn't really get that.
Oh, I got that when he was hanging off the edge, and he let one hand go and...
Yeah, off the cliff and stuff.
I thought that was more of a thrill kind of thing because he was also cutting himself and stuff. So I think he was just trying to be in control of his life.
Okay.
But to each its own, everyone has their own opinion. That's what we do with discuss on here on Scaredy Cats.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has their own interpretation.
Yeah.
So, but that's just what I got from it. So he's sitting there, he's smoking a doobie, he's got his dog whistle, and then all of a sudden, Lola's father, who you don't even know exists, by the way, guys, just comes up and beats the guy over the head and drags him off, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? And then it just shoots to, like, Lola getting a pretty dress from the man, and you find out it's her dad, and she's like, do I look pretty, Daddy? And it is ridiculous, guys. Like, these two have the most messed up father-daughter relationship I've seen in a while in a horror movie.
No, it was fucked up, especially because she got changed right in front of him and he's watching her. And he's got,
that's
like,
what I'm trying
eyes.
To say. Like, both of them were screwed up in the head. Like, she wanted her daddy to love her unconditionally and be the only one in his life.
Yeah.
And he knew it was wrong, but he still loved her.
Yeah, she didn't like that Bright Eyes or whatever the old lady was.
Bright Eyes
totally
actually ended
story.
Up being her mom. I don't really know her story. I do know that she was lobotomized. You could tell just by the mark in her forehead.
Oh, yeah, she had the hole in her head. That
so, I mean, she was really fucked up. She didn't even talk. She couldn't talk.
Yeah.
Lola was very nasty to her.
Yeah, she seemed very jealous.
Yeah, and then you find out at the end, well, towards the end, that Bright Eyes is her mom, and that's why she hates her so much.
Yeah.
And so basically, this is just about a really sad, jealous girl.
Yeah.
And how jealousy can take such a sharp and angry turn.
Yeah.
And one thing that me and Daniel were discussing right before this happened is that this actually generated a crime.
Yeah.
from somebody. Daniel, would you like to stitch ahead on that?
Well, the guy in question, he killed another man, and the wounds and everything were very similar to, like, the guy had 34 knife wounds, and he had salt in his eyes and stuff. So he did a lot of, he was inspired by the movie. I don't know the story. I don't know, like, what made the motivation or anything, but.
I do know that they were schoolmates. I don't know if they were friends.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there was probably some jealousy or something going on, because that's a really passionate thing to do to somebody.
Yeah. The guy got 30 years, so.
So, which he should have.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it even generated other people and gave them inspiration, as screwed up as that is. But
yeah.
It did. So, I mean, it was a cult classic. At the box office, it did not do well.
No.
But I genuinely think, and I was explaining this to Daniel, guys, is that they only got a release in Australia. In theaters. They didn't get a release in the USA in theaters. So I think that's what really hit the box office for them.
No, I think, I mean, it was well done. The comedy, I think, helped it a lot. And I heard that it actually, you know, took it away from an NC-17 rating.
Yeah, actually, they had to keep going back and doing more funny stuff.
Yeah.
That way they could keep it out of NC-17. That's actually why they even used those two characters in the first place. That's why that was in there, for comedic relief.
Yeah, Jamie and Mia, they really had no fucking thing to the story, but I would rather just see a separate spinoff romantic comedy with those two than
like,
Lola's story was cool.
Jay and Silent Bob of this movie.
They're like, we have all this crazy shit. And I know what you said about the production or the director saying that that was kind of supposed to emulate the good time that Brett was supposed to have. I understand that, but that didn't show through at all, really.
Yeah.
Like, no, the audience didn't connect those dots. But those two were just so fucking hilarious, and it's the classic, like, we've all been in that scenario. It's like a classic, like, a good guy, and then just this, like, this badass
wild,
chick,
crazy girl.
That's just a little too much for him. He bit off a little too much. He can chew.
But he's not,
like,
gonna back out of it, because he's already deep.
And they're like, just them smoking the joint in the car and going to the dance, and she's grabbing his butt cheek and stuff. And he's like, and just the way, like, he's like, I don't want you to think I have bad hygiene. And she's like, why? Because you think I'm going to, well, I don't have to say the whole line, but.
Yeah, let's not.
Like, it's just their dialogue through the whole thing. It really saved the movie for me, even though it had nothing to do with it.
It kept it interesting.
Yeah, because it's like, no matter what the fuck Lola's doing and all the crazy shit, it's like, oh, at least we'll see those two have fun.
And I really did appreciate that. It wasn't really, I mean, it was about that at the end, but it wasn't really about Holly trying to find him. You know how, like, most movies are like that.
Yeah.
And I really liked that it didn't really focus on Holly and the mother trying to find him. They did at the end.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the entire focus of the movie. And I do think that actually saved them.
Yeah.
By having the focus be on Mia and the best friend instead.
Well, that's why I really think there was a cutout scene where they hear a noise and they find the situation going on. Because, it's really unrelated. He takes her out. They have a good time. He drops her off at home. He hugs her. Her dad goes out. So that's the only correlation. The dad that's there, he goes to the house, and that's the guy that gets the fucking butcher.
He got the hatchet in the head.
So that was Mia's dad.
Yeah.
So that makes a little sense, but it doesn't correlate enough to what's going on. And he dropped her off at home. He went home, and he had a good night. And then that's it for that story. But I do think it was good, and it was interesting. It was entertaining. And he was the kid that sold Brett the weed. He was friends with him. So.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we can both agree to the point that this was very unended in some spots.
Yeah.
And other spots, they tied it up.
I don't know. I think there's finality. Lola's dead.
I do think there was a couple of loose ends.
Yeah. Not enough for a sequel.
Absolutely not. I mean, she got ran the hell over. She's gone.
Yeah, she gone. Her dad got fucking eaten by all those lobotomized zombies in the thing.
Yeah, talk about that. What was in the face?
Yeah, so, guys, Lola had a thing for lobotomizing people.
Yeah.
And Daddy would help her.
Yeah, this is her first time doing it.
All the boys that she got rejected by, that she ended up having to do this tactic to, after it happened, they were very lethargic and whatnot. And so she actually locked them down in her basement, her and her father did. And they actually became cannibalistic because they had nothing else to eat. So Brent actually, as he makes a run for it, I will have to say, guys, Brent is a champion. This dude, he almost is lobotomized. He has a freaking heart and, like, his name and Lola's name engraved in his chest, and she sprinkles salt on it.
Jesus.
Like, she stabs his freaking feet to get the floor. Like, this dude is a champion.
Well, the fact
for
that
being
he got
alive.
Out, and he got out a couple times, and it was always like, dude, how?
Exactly.
The fuck? He had knives in his feet. Like how
the
is
second
Walker,
time, yeah.
The second time, yeah, but... How can you fucking walk at the, and he got hit with that rock in that tree.
Mm-hmm.
She fucked it, and it, that was, to me, I don't think that was intentionally funny, but it was one of the funniest parts of the movie.
It really was.
He's like a cat in the
face. It really was.
And he's fucking avoiding it, and then she gets the one hit, and I was looking at Chana, and she was like, well, he needs to move out, and then she's like, he needs to move out of the way, and then it's like, kerplunk, I'm like, well, they got him. And he fucking falls on the truck and shit.
Yeah, I mean, I felt really bad for him, but, I mean, he was somebody to cheer for.
Yeah.
I will have to say, because he had some guts.
Yeah. I still don't understand how he's such a ladies' man. He looks like a little weirdo. He could, like,
But guys, it was back in 2009. It was back when the emo look was in.
Yeah.
And whatnot. That's why.
Yeah, he got way too much ass, so he didn't deserve
it. I mean, he didn't deserve it. He really didn't. He shouldn't be clapping cheeks with somebody that's beautiful. But it's explainable just by the fact that it was the emo revolution, and he was emo.
But the things I do enjoy about the movie, and I think the setup's really bad. Like I said, I don't like the setup, but I think that it's one of those movies that gradually gets better and better and better, and they keep giving you little things throughout that sets up that pieces from the beginning.
Yeah, like little puzzle pieces.
Yeah, she finds, like, her finding his razor blade at the end, like in the pool of blood,
mm-hmm.
and just all this little things that, like, they show you throughout the movie, you don't think it's going to mean shit, and then it ends up meaning something.
Yeah.
I have respect for that, and I think that's good writing.
Yes, I did not like it at the beginning or towards the middle, but by the time the end rolled around, it's like, oh,
yeah,
this was actually a really good story.
And then you look at it as a whole, and you're like, well, the plot's actually there. At first, you're like, they're jumping into this with very little plot, but it's like they're building on the plot throughout all the bullshit that's going on. I think that was a really interesting take.
And also, one thing I really, really like and I want to say is, like, not only did they have a good director, but the director is the writer.
Yeah.
And you can see that.
Yeah.
You can see that this guy has worked solely on this project.
Well, yeah. And that's when I can get a call back to please wait further instructions, where it felt like there was a lot of different visions in that.
Yeah.
Like, you know how we were talking about how it kind of felt like a sci-fi horror mystery, and then it felt like just...
Doctor Who episode.
Yeah. There was just a bunch of different shit that it's like, whoever writing this movie was watching 15 different things at once. It's like, let's do all this shit. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But this is like one clear, concise vision. They built what they wanted to build. There's not really a room for a sequel. There are a couple loose ends, like you said, but it gave you everything right there, and it gave you throughout the movie, and it didn't, and I almost like that it didn't fucking blow its load in the first half, because that second half was so exhilarating, or the third act, but it was so exhilarating. We're just watching.
You're on, like, the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my god, is he gonna get out, come on, get out.
So as much as I wasn't feeling it at first, it just really pieced everything together. And there isn't too many loose, it's not like bad loose ends either, to where it's like stuff that's not explained. Every little thing is explained by the end, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, YouTube, we're going to say goodbye. Booty hoo. Bye-bye.
But to finish this off for our audio viewers, what was your most gruesome moment in this movie? Because we don't have a plethora of kills. So if you had to pick a gruesome moment, what would it be?
And I can't say everything. I would have to say the most gruesome, torturous one as the watcher would have to be with Lola and her daddy trying to do the lobotomy on Brent. I mean, it wasn't, I'm not going to say that it was, like, scary, but it was, like, edgy your seat and cringy.
Yeah. Yeah,
watching the thrill come at your eye, like that, towards your forehead.
For me, it was the second drilling, too. When they made the first hole, it wasn't that bad, but then when she tried to dump the water in and she couldn't do it, you need to make the hole bigger. When she's like, Dad, you need to make the hole bigger. I can't. And she's having, like, she's getting butterflies.
Yeah, I know.
And because then he goes to do it again, he grabs him by the head, and you hear, like, a crack. It's like, a crack! And
yeah,
then it's like, oh, my
oh
God,
God,
I'm walking away.
It's bad, guys. It's just bad.
It's recording again. But there was a couple moments where I was sitting there like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't know what was going on, and I had to walk away. There was a couple moments, because this torture shit isn't for me. But,
and it's not really for me either, guys. I don't want anyone to get the bad, like, side of me or anything. But I like stuff that keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah. And some torture, and it, like, the plot was good enough to where I didn't care, and everything kind of meant something to what she was trying to do, and it all, it wasn't like torture for torture's sake. A lot of it made sense to the plot, so I didn't mind that. Her and her dad's relationship, as grossed out as I was, it's one of the...
I would have to say it's one of the most original, fucked up relationships.
It brought everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about original, but
well,
I would say
original, Daniel, because of the fact that she wasn't, like, sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
Or a sexual victim or anything. If anything, she was a, like,
willing
constant player, willing participant.
Well, yeah. Now she is. We don't know the whole story,
but, I mean, that's how they were in the movie.
But I think
we're reviewing.
I think it was one of the most... And it's a fucked up saying this, but it's one of the most genuine relationships in the movie.
Yeah.
Because all the, like, it does come across, like, they give you a lot to it. To where you don't understand, like, it's not like one of those things you can understand. But it's one of the, like, it helped make the movie with how fucked up it was. And it really.
And they didn't have to be over-sexual about it.
No.
That's what I really
like. They made it creepy enough, though. There was that, like, that scene where she was trying on that dress. I was like, this is fucking disgusting. And when they were dancing at the end, and she's like, it's always been you, Dati, and all that shit. It's like, this is
fucking
gross.
Yeah, that was really, really weird. But I will give the hats off to them, guys, because they only had one sex scene in the movie. Or did they have two?
Two.
They had two sex scenes in the movie. I will give it to the director, who was also the writer, because that's really hard to do when you have a teen movie.
Yeah, but they
were
also
really hard to stay away from.
This isn't a PG-13 back away. You see Brent sucking on them titties at the beginning.
I know.
Softcore porn almost.
Like, I mean, yes, it was, but it wasn't totally saturated with it.
No.
Like the remake of Friday the 13th.
But the Brent Holly scene, you don't fucking need. You don't need him fucking in the car and her watching. You don't, or if you can, you don't have to do it that explicit.
And it doesn't need to be in the school parking lot.
Yeah.
That was just weird.
And it felt a little off character for both of them, because Holly's kind of just built as this good girlfriend that wants to go to homecoming. Like, that's all we get from her character, that she cares about Brent after the accident and everything. She knows he's fucked up, but she cares about him. So her just being wild and fun, it made sense for Mia and Jamie, because this is this wild goth girl. I'm touching your balls at the dance. Yeah, we're going to go fuck in the car. That makes sense. That narratively makes sense to those two characters.
But there was no build-up between him and Holly.
Yeah, him and Holly, it's like, let's just throw in them fucking in this, and maybe people will like that. It didn't have as much emotional weight.
Right, and I think the only thing for that part was to have Lola watching
them. Yeah.
And increase her jealousy.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's all we really got. And that was really my only real complaint with the movie, is that we jumped into Lola fucking him up without too much backstory.
Yeah.
But like I said, I enjoy that they gave the backstory in the middle, too, because that kept me interested in the middle of the movie. Where it's like, oh, this shit's happening, too.
Definitely like a circle.
Yeah.
Like it just wraps around in the beginning again.
Yeah. It doesn't just go from A to B to C to it'll go to C, and it'll loop right back to A for a couple things, and then it'll go to C again.
But it doesn't do it so badly to the fact where it's corny. It does it to the point where you're getting the information.
Yeah. And the little things that they're pointing to do kind of mean something. It's not like, who gives a fuck if he picked up a pencil here? Like, it's like big things.
Yeah, like it's definitely kind of like I'm going to relate this dance a little bit, guys. It's kind of like a Fosse kind of dance. Fosse is very, very, very specific, very, very little, but also stands out.
Yeah.
Amazingly. And it looks really easy, but it's really, really, really hard. Just like something like this is really, really, really hard to pull off.
Yeah.
But if you do it, it's going to be great.
Yeah. And it was good. I liked all the characters. I thought it was an interesting movie. I was excited to talk about it because I do. I mean, I've known a couple Lolas in my lifetime. Maybe not to that extent, but there's some crazy chicks out there.
We're not going to name names.
No. But she is a crazy chick, and there's weird, not just women, but individuals out there. And, you know, there are people like this, obviously, since it sparked something like that. But and it's fucking crazy. Like you called it a piece of art earlier. I scoffed at it a little bit. But it is a good, like, the movie means something. I wouldn't say it has a message, but it does mean something.
But it's definitely
something.
A film.
Yeah. It's
not just a movie.
It's a well-put-together story that, you know, it preys on some of the fucked up things in society. But
exactly. Would I recommend it to everybody? No.
No.
Absolutely not. Don't eat during it.
Yeah.
And if you are the kind of person that can't handle soft torture and shit, don't watch it. Just don't.
But my most gruesome moment would probably be when the dad got fucked up at the end.
And by the cannibals.
Yeah, and then he got thrown into the pit, and then all those little fuckers just ate the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lola's watching, and she's seeing her dad being eaten. And then that's when she goes smothers Bright Eyes, and we find that Bright Eyes was her mom. But that whole scene was just fucked up with the cannibals eating him. It was, and it was justice, too. It was like, good, fuck him. He was a good character. I think the dad was a good character.
I think they all had different depths to them, and I feel like they all had different parts.
They weren't one-dimensional, which is so hard to get with these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell, like, $4 million, it's not a great budget, but you can tell this had a little – it's not an independent movie. It's a little higher production value. And it seemed like all the characters had time put into them, and it wasn't just, a jock,
believe, guys, that if this was released in the United States or maybe even the United Kingdom, somewhere other than just Australia, I really think it would have been a box office smash.
Yeah. If you take out some of the fucked up parts, it's a little too gruesome.
And I think that's why it ended up just being viewed in Australia, because that's the norm.
And that's kind of why it's like a niche classic now, because some people like that fucked up shit.
Yeah.
But it's not for a wide audience.
No.
But what would you give this movie out of 10 psycho teenage girls?
10 psycho teenage girls. I would definitely have to give it about 8 Lolas.
8 Lolas?
8 Lolas.
I would say the same. As much as I disliked it at the beginning.
Yeah.
It ended up being really good.
Absolutely. I'll give it a 6. Because I'm not trying to undervalue. I thought it was a good movie. But there is a couple things and a couple flaws in that first half. Because I feel like if I watch it, even now that I know everything, it is cool that that first half still whacked to me.
Yeah.
I think it really picked up in the second and third act.
And I do agree, but because of the second and third act, that's why she gets those 2 extra points. Because she is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think she ranks up there. Like, she is a good psycho serial antagonist.
Yeah, she, like, ranks up there with, like, a screen killer.
Yeah.
Like a Mickey or a Jill.
Yeah, she was a good antagonist for this movie and a good psycho crazy chick.
Yeah.
With that being said, do you want to tell the people what we're doing next week? We picked it out of the hat already.
All right, next week, guys, we're going to be doing the English version of the movie Pulse. We're going back to the 2000s again next week, starring a little cutie that everyone loves, Kristen Bell, back when she was in her prime.
Yeah.
So we're going to check that out and delve into it and basically go over the technology and everything that they've insinuated in it, because it's a really good story, actually. So Pulse will be next week. I'm going to give you guys a good old hoo-dee-hoo, and we'll see you guys later.
All right.